Heavenly Father, we come to your presence by blood of Jesus. We confess our sins to clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, we, as we go into your word, I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or ability to share, or even my preparation. I ask for fresh mercies, Father, because it is regarding a servant that be found faithful, that help me to be faithful, Lord God, as I go into your word this evening. Lord God, I grant you mercy and grace, Lord God, to speak as an oracle of God. As your word goes forth, it will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in the hearts of life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of the word that comes forth, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As I share, Lord, help me to redeem the time not to say things that are unnecessary, as I duck under covering, setting you, Lord, Holy Spirit, at the right time, that will give me what to say in this hour. Let your kingdom come in our fast service today, Lord. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give a brief genesis of this message that came to me. It was, you know, as we on, like I said earlier on, we are basking in the glory of our Father, our Pastor, the whom God honored before our very eyes on Sunday. So, and something occurred that I did understand also a few days ago when I started thinking about this thing, when God spoke to me. The title of my message today is Knowing and Serving the God of Your Father. There's again, knowing and serving the God of our Father. Correct? Knowing and serving the God of our Father. That, let me explain the genesis of a message. You know, as the celebration began on Saturday, we went for a dinner. You know, some people were called to dinner, and we had a nice time. You know, and then later on Sunday, we had another party, which, as I now began to look back, it looked as if it was what happened in the book of Esther. Bible says that the king, first of all, had a feast. The first feast was unto the princes, not everybody. Then later on, the next night, it was now another feast for the people at the Shushan Palace. That means you had more people. So some came to the feast. Those are the princes, like those are in leadership, for the first feast. Then the second feast was for those at the Shushan Palace, which is the type of what we had on Sunday. Sunday in the church here. So when I got home after the service on Sunday in the evening, I just went straight to bed. I was tired. I just kind of passed out. So I woke up later on, around to 11 or 12. I just said to myself, let me pray, Lord. Let me just spend some time and pray, rather than just go back to bed, or like roll over without mercy. And immediately I started praying. God now spoke to me. He said, know and serve the God of your Father. So I began to think about the prayer. That's the genesis of his message. As I continue, we understand. God spoke to me. He said, know and serve the God of your Father. So I, in relating to what happened, look at the story of Esther. After the second feast, the next thing was that Vashti should present herself in her royal apparel with a crown. And we know she refused. So that is what we are about to enter into now. You understand as I continue. Are you following me? So let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. We read. I didn't even know that it was in the scriptures. I mean, I read it before, but I couldn't connect it at that time when God whispered to me. But as I was praying and meditating, God now led me to the scripture. This was what David told Solomon on his deathbed. You know, if you are going to say something very important, I mean, or somebody going to say something important on his deathbed, he will not say, make sure you eat every day. He will, talk about the greater matters of something that he will leave with that child, that will help the child to fulfill purpose and destiny. So, and the generations after him. So this is what God, David told Solomon on his deathbed. You see, before then, he had told him that, look, I wanted to build the tabernacle, but God don't allow me because I was a man of war and I've shed innocent blood and blah, blah, blah. He kept on telling God, then telling Solomon because of his experience with God. Now here, let's read together. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. Or if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You see, he didn't miss words when he was talking to Solomon. He took no time to waste. He said, look, know the God of your father.
That means at that time, not that Solomon didn't know God,
but he was yet to know him as he ought to know him. You see, what I'm trying to say, what God wants us to know today is that this. You see, you can be in a church like this. Are you following me? You can have revelation knowledge. You can know, you can even operate in the gifts of, because at this time, Solomon already had his pattern for the temple David had given him. God had already told him and given him wisdom. I follow him. So, and he has already been ordained to be the next king after David. But yet, David told him, say, thou my son Solomon, know thou the God of thy father. And also, after you know him, you must also do what? Serve him with what? A perfect heart and a willing mind. That is, serve him with an honest heart and a willing mind. Be willing to serve him with joy. I follow him. For the Lord does what? Searches the heart and understanding all the imaginations of the thoughts. And if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, Solomon, he will cast thee off in spite of revelation. In spite of the fact that you understand the principles, so to speak, to build the tabernacle. That was the last thing David told his son Solomon. Because of his own experience with God. God had told him before, made a promise to him, cut a covenant with him. But at the end of the day, he said, no, you are not going to build a temple again. So you're not going to build it again. He said, your son will build it. So he said, no, this God. We are going to know that God as we continue the message today. So I now put this to not waste time. Say, let's look at it in Amplified. In Amplified explains it. You know, it's clearer in Amplified. Put it in Amplified, please, for a minute. Amplified. So let's just, as for you, Solomon, my son, let's go. Know the God of your father. Have what? A personal knowledge of him. Be acquainted with and understand him. Appreciate, heed, and cherish him. And what? Serve him with a blameless heart and a willing mind. For the Lord was what? Searches the hearts and minds and understand every intent and inclination. You must have a pure motive of thought. If you seek him, inquiring for him, or of him, inquiring of and of him, and requiring him as your first and vital necessity, he will let you find him. But if you abandon, turn away from him, he will reject you forever. In spite of the fact that you are king, Solomon, in spite of the fact that God has promised and has given you wisdom, in spite of the fact of what you know. If you can be in a place like this, or you can even be any anointed preacher, you may not know God as you ought to know him. It's the same thing with, that's why Paul cried to Corinthians, I think of Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. He said, I work unto righteousness, I speak to your shame. For you people, you do not know, you don't have the knowledge of God. Meanwhile, the Corinthian church were gifted. That you are behind in no gift. So what are we saying? God wants us to know the God of our Father. Now, before we continue, I'll put it here. Say, who is the God of our Father? It's very important. You see, David did not say, know the God of Ephraim or any other person. He specified that he know the God of the Father. In another translation, he says, I know the God of our ancestors. And this dates back to Abraham. Because Abraham is the first person that God referred to. We'll see it as we continue. So the God I'm talking about, the God that I want you to know, is not just any God. It's God is God to everybody. The Bible says God is unto God shall all flesh come. The Bible says that God is Father of all spirits. So that's general. But the one that I want you to know, my son, is the God of your father. He's talking about genealogy that dates back to Abraham. That is, there is a connection right from Abraham, the lineage, up to where we are today. It is that God that we want to know. So, who is the God of our father? Or the God of Abraham? Or the God of the fathers of the house? That is the God that David was telling Solomon his son to know. I put it there. I said that he is the God that caught a covenant with Abraham and swore by himself to fulfill it. To make it very simple. The God we are to know is not the God that blessed Esau. Are you following me? It's not the God that blessed Ishmael and sent him away. It's the God that caught the covenant with Abraham and swore and said that he will fulfill that covenant. A blessing and a blessing. Let's read Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. Let's read. Because as I was meditating, I discovered that he was never called the God of Abraham until after he swore to Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. And God said,
and said, by myself, I'm by myself. Have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, next verse, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies, next verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now to summarize, you know what that promise is? That promise to summarize, not to waste time. He says he's going to possess the gates of his enemies. Talking about overcoming the sin nature in the flesh. But the carnal mind is enmity with God. And that promise was, like Paul says in the book of Galatians, he says that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and then heirs according to the promise. So that's the promise that he made there, even though it wasn't said explicitly yet. But as we go on, we will see. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. That was the punishment that God swore. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Let's look at that. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Next verse. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Next verse. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Next verse. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Next verse. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, that it will not change, confirmed it by an oath. Next verse. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set forth. I say, which hope we have as an uncovered soul that is sure and steadfast that enters within the veil. If you notice, when God did not swear when they gave birth to Isaac, it was after he offered up Isaac that God swore. So it's not talking about the promise of having a child. He was talking about the promise that came after he offered Isaac on the altar. That's what he's talking about. And we all know again to understand further. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 19 talks about the covenant. He says, in those that made covenant to the house of Israel, I write up my laws upon there. They will say, no more know the law. All shall know me from the least to the greatest. To interpret it because of time. So that is what happened. It wasn't until after that that you ever hear somebody mention the God of Abraham. And the first person was Eliezer. Genesis chapter 24 verse 12. That was the first time in the Bible that he became the God of Abraham. It was after, not before. Are we there? Eliezer. And the servants said unto him. No. Genesis chapter 24 verse 12, not 5. And he said, that's Eliezer thing, O Lord God of my master Abraham. That was when Eliezer was sent to go and get a wife for Isaac. That was the first time the Bible ever mentioned that he's God of Abraham. So what are we saying? God wants us to know the God of our father in this house, and then by extrapolation, if you go backwards down to Abraham, why? As the covenant keeping God that made a promise and swore to fulfill that promise. Praise the Lord. Now, who is this God we are talking about? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. It begins to describe that God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Let's read that. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his what? Wisdom. Talks about that Solomon for you. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Next verse. Him up with all that, but let him that glorieth glory in what in this, that what he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am what the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Lord. That is, if you want to boast, what says, don't boast about your riches, Solomon, don't boast about your wisdom. You can be gifted, you can be preaching the message. Say, go and boast about that. Boast that you know me. That I am a God that exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. You see, the first thing we know about God is his loving kindness. Always. And he does that expecting us to recompense with a commensurate level of righteousness. But oftentimes we don't. So then he brings in judgment. So you can get the desired righteousness. The Bible says that when thy judgments are in the earth, then not only them, with the inhabitants of land, righteousness. That is the God that we have to know.
That is the God that has called covenant with Abraham, our father. Jeremiah, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Why am I saying this? You see, it's a call to move up higher. Not because we don't know God. But I will see, as we see, as we continue, Pastor has shared with us, we know God at different levels. God is calling us to come up with that because we have entered a new season. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Are we there? This was when Moses was saying, "Ah, God, show me your glory, show me your glory." If you notice, the same thing applies to Moses. He had the knowledge of Egypt and all that, but he didn't know God at all. When God appeared to him, he didn't know. He knew God as just this burning bush. Then, well, why else God say, "I am the God of Abraham, your father"? That means he didn't know of Isaac and of Jacob. If you see progression, it wasn't until everybody started aligning that became their God. After some time, and Isaac aligned with him, he said, "I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac." After some time, Jacob aligned. Esau went astray. They became the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as people aligned with his purpose on the earth, which you have just mentioned, and following me, which he caught with Abraham, the covenant he caught with him, then he becomes your God. So it's a process that we all have to go through. So don't just know him as somebody that is always nice and blesses us. No, you must know him based on the covenant that he caught with our fathers, based on purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. Hold on. Let's read that. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth." Next verse. "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that we by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children, upon children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation." In this verse, when immediately Moses heard like that, Bible said, just took his shoes, just went. That was when they began to know God. The book of Psalms 89, verse 14 says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, and mercy and truth shall always go before thy face." You see, God is righteous. When you start knowing God, when you start understanding him, he will help you to relate to him and then to cooperate with him. If you notice that he spoke more, so we should get the balance. He spoke more of mercy, loving kindness. That's it. But there's that other aspect. He said, "By no means clear the guilty." I follow him. So we need to know that God is very important. Justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. That is the foundation of God's throne. He cannot change it for everybody. So it is this God that David was telling Solomon to know. And he said four things. I will just explain as I go on. He said that you should know God. Say, "Know God." Then serve him with a perfect and a willing heart. Then he said you seek after him. And then the fourth thing is that if you don't do all these things, he's going to forsake you. He said he's going to cast you off forever. God will not cast us off forever. Now, he says that you should know him. You see, but before you can know God, I follow him. The first is more seeking. You can't just know him by just desiring to know him. Because the Bible says, "Oh God, that hideth thyself." You have to seek him. And seek him, they say, "If you seek me diligently, you will find me." So it is when you seek him that you know him. When you now know him, you now begin to serve him. Because the degree to which you know him is the degree to which you serve him. The more you know him, the better you will be able to serve him. And the Bible says that God will honor those that serve him, which is what we saw that happened during Sunday and during Pastor's birthday. He said that if any man follow me, let him serve me. And whoever serves him with my father, what? Honor. Praise the Lord. So he told him, so if you don't seek God first, you are not going to know him. But as you seek him, you begin to know him more. Then when you know him more, they will help you to serve him with your spirit. Or else it will cast the person off. What that means is this. If you don't seek him, that you may know and serve him, you're automatically forsaking him. Are you following me? That's what it means. And what does it mean to cast the person off? It doesn't mean that a person will necessarily go to hell. It just means that, like he told some people in the book of Matthew, he said, some people will come in that day and say, "No, we have cast out devils in your name. We have done this in your name. Sir, I never knew you. Depart from me. Ye that walk in iniquity." That is, they cast out devils in his name, not in the devil's name. They did many mighty works in his name. And yet, he said, "Depart from me, ye that walk in iniquity." The same that happened to the boy that didn't have a wedding garment by reason of time. He said, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him
outer court. What that means is that such a person, that will not be a portion of Judaism, will be banished totally to the outer court. I follow him, Francis. That will not be a lot in Jesus' name. So you see, that's what God wants to do. So, and like I said earlier, even though Solomon was under David's covering, he did not know God as he ought to. I follow him, Francis. And you see, not that I didn't know God. He himself said it. He said that I'm a little child. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, he said, I'm a little child. That means at the time that I was going to be king, he was a spiritual babe, between baby and little child. That's why David told me, look, what is coming upon you is coming upon you because of covering. Understand it. So know him, like I know him. I knew him. Know him for yourself. Because if you don't know him for yourself, all those things that have been bestowed upon you, you don't have the capacity to hold it, to handle it. Which unfortunately is what happened to Solomon. Let's just see. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. He said it. He said that, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but what? A little child. I follow him. And then you know the story. He asked for wisdom. But I want to see that Solomon knew his level at that time. He was a little child. So what are we saying when we talk about knowing God? There are three levels of knowing God. We either know God in our spirits, that is where everybody begins. Then we now proceed to know God by revelation. And then finally we know God in our flesh. And that tallies with our level of spiritual growth. So God is not angry with us, but he's saying that we should move up. If peradventure all you know is God in your spirit, I forgot the saying, come up. If you know him by revelation, he say, move up to the final level of knowing God in your flesh. Praise the Lord. And like I said earlier on, I said he needs to come. You see, the God of Elijah must become the God of Elisha one day. That's why after a period of time, Elijah said, where is the God of Elijah? I want to know him. That you must not be content with just knowing him as the God of Isaac, of Jacob. He must become your God as a starting point in time in your life. And then you know him. This is what we are talking about again. You must know him as a God of purpose and death. The God that has sworn to bring many sons to glory. Praise the Lord. So, that is very important for us to know. Let me put some scriptures behind it so we can follow. I said we know God at three levels, three stages of our spiritual growth. The first level is knowing God in our spirits, which tallies to baby, from baby to little child. This is where we know God in our spirits, where the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are sons of God. The Bible says we will cry, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, to put a scripture behind this. That is where the majority of the church is. Baby to little child. That is where Solomon was when he was made king. And for his father, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received what? The spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit, as you got the Spirit itself, himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is, you are born again. You know inside that you are born again. You have the assurance you are not going to hell. But that's all you know. That's where we all start from. But after a period of time, you need to move up. That was exactly what David was telling Solomon. Because Solomon said, I'm a little child. That is, between baby. He wasn't a little child in terms of maybe somebody wearing a nappy or 5-year-old boy. No, no. It's a spiritual age. Now, I'm a little child. He said, give me wisdom. And how can I judge these people? I followed him. That's why the most important thing that David told me, okay, David knew that I was a little child. He said, you're a little child. It's true. But make sure you know this God. Make sure you move from little baby to little child to young man, which is the next stage. Let's put the scripture behind for good. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. This is where most Christians are. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, please. Say, he that believeth on the Son of God had what the witness in himself. He that believeth not had made him a liar. You see, look at that word. Say, he that believeth on the Son had the witness. The Spirit of God will just bear witness in your spirit. You will cry, Abba, Father. That the next level of knowing God is knowing God from the little child to the young man stage, where we now know God by revelation. You've left the stage of just had a witness inside that you are born again. You now know God by revelation. That's another level, which is tallies to from little child to young man. And how do we know God? This is when we know God by revelation through the written word. You now begin to see God from the scriptures.
that is where Moses took God to at the time. Initially, he didn't know, like I mentioned earlier. But there came to a time in his life. Bible says that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, he said, he endured that seeing him, that is what? Invisible. He began to see God. He began to see God, even though initially he did not know, but he moved up. You know why? If you don't get to that level and move up, when persecution and affliction arises, that person is likely to go back. That's why I said that he forsook Egypt. When he started seeing God by revelation, he said he forsook Egypt. I said, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured a sin that is invisible. So it's no longer God that he just is heard of that blesses him. He now can see God, like we've been taught. He began to see the invisible. He began to see God the Father by faith. He began to see God the Son by faith. God the Holy Spirit by faith. He began to see those things. And those things now began to determine what he did, where he went to, and how bold he was to go and stand before Pharaoh. And it's very important for us to know that also as Christians. And that we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The Ephesian church, Paul began to pray. They were born again. He now began to pray that God should give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is, they were born again, but they did not know God by revelation. So began to say, I bow my knees, God. That is, you need to move up from just being Christians, being born again, knowing God that you are born again, are going to heaven. Begin to know Him by revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Let's just read. Are we there? Say, let's pray together. And that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you all the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of what? All your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? And what is the exceeding greatness of His resurrection power in Christ towards what we believe? He began to pray for them. That guys, Ephesian church, you need to move up. There is more to God. And that tallies to the young man stage, to the to little child stage, the young man stage, because it takes spiritual growth to know God. Like I said, you don't just know God, and as you continue, you find that it's the Father that usually introduces the children to God. Look at a natural setting. If you have a little child, maybe you have children, you know, maybe 2-year-old boy or so, it's when you come and start praying, then you say, oh, let's pray, saying, Jesus, in my half life. They are introducing him to that God. I follow him. That's why it is also spiritual. In natural, it's also like that in the spirit. In the natural, that's how you get your children to know God. Have I God told them? He said, this thing you must teach them. In the morning, in the night. You know, why? Because God wanted the fathers to introduce the children to him. The mistake that the body of Christ has made today is the same mistake that they made in the Old Testament. When God called for all of them and he came down, he said, bring them to me, bring them to me, bring them to me. He said, no. We don't want to know this God. Oh, Moses, you go and meet him. Whatever he tells us to do, we will do. And that was a very great mistake. That thing pained God. He grieved him. Let me use that word. Because he had told them earlier on, he said, I'm going to make all of you a kingdom of priests unto me. But when they saw God, they said, no, Moses, don't worry. Whatever he tells you to do, we will do. But each time you make that decision and you don't make up your mind to grow to know the God of your father, you are going to end up doing what the others did. Because you see, after some time, it now becomes what Moses said. It's no longer what God said. Because when you start despising Moses in your heart, you say, is Moses there? I don't even know. God actually didn't speak to you. He said, I should be doing this. God, who even told why? Because you only heard it from man. We have not proceeded to know the God of Moses. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So that's why God told them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, to explain better. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where Paul was talking about this light of revelation knowledge. Say, for God, who commanded what the light to shine out of darkness, and what shined in our hearts, to give what the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This second stage is when you now begin to know God by revelation. Not only by the inward. So this revelation that comes from the word now confirms the inward witness that you have as a spiritual babe. And that's how God talks to us again. You see, you get a witness in your heart about something. I sense that God wants me to do this. I sense in my heart. You're not sure. But begin to pray and meditate in the word. Suddenly light will come. The life will now confirm what has come to your heart. I follow. I'm trying to say, let me give you an example. Everybody's looking so serious. You know, so we can get into the flow. You know, there was a time that mommy said that, you know, if you want to get married, you need to get, look for a needle in a haystack. We all know that story. Yeah, so one day I was just praying. I was saying, God, needle in a haystack. I'm married already. I'm not planning to marry again, please. But I just began to inquire. It can't be a literal needle. You see, when God talks like that, when prophets speak, they use types and shadows. They're parables. That's when you now go back and you are praying, you begin to inquire, not because you want to have a second wife. So I said, God, needle in a haystack. Needle in a haystack. God spoke to me one day after a period of time. He said, look, the needle he's talking about is not the needle that I used to sew, needle and thread. The needle there is the needle on the compass. And the Bible talks about Christians that are wood, hay, and stubble. So in the midst of a congregation, you are looking for the saints, the brother or the sister, whose needle of his compass is pointing north. So he says that Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says that if any man builds wood, hay, or stubble, his works shall be burnt to fire. In the whole body of Christ today, there is wood, hay, and stubble. But the person you are looking for is the needle in the haystack. That person whose compass is pointing north to perfection. I said, go ye up north. That is where God dwells. It's Mount Zion, the side of the north, the city of the living God. You see, the message has not changed. The message has not changed. It's the same thing that God is talking about. So when you're looking for somebody, you're looking for somebody. Let me make it very simple again. Somebody whose heart is honest. Yeah, let me make it very simple. You may not understand all the perfection principles. Let me explain to you. He may not be doing everything. But somebody that wants, it goes like this, and he has a message, the needle goes like this. They say, ah! Like you're hearing a message, they say, ah, this is God. Ah, they say, we should not be late to church again. I'm not going to be late to church. That is what you're looking for. That is how you find the needle in the haystack. Or else, if the natural needle is talking about, that's not what he's talking about. I found out, so that's what you're now. Let's get back to the message. That's. So, what are we saying? Then the last aspect of knowing God, I follow him. It's no God in our flesh. Like Abraham, our father, knew God in our flesh by experiencing resurrection life in his flesh. That's why the Bible calls him the God of Abraham. So when David said, know the God of thy father, he was not only talking about his own himself. That is the God of Abraham, know him the same way that Abraham knew him. After his body was dead, God gave life to that body. Gave strength to Sarah. And they conceived and gave birth to Isaac. That is, they must know the God of those you are serving. I follow me. That are telling you or that give birth to the Christ child in their mortal flesh. That is the God we want to know. That is the God of purpose. That is the God of destiny. That is what he swore that he would do. So as long as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. That is the God we want to know. Not the God of Esau, I keep saying. God is God of Esau, but not the God of Ishmael. Ishmael too was blessed, but that's not the God that we want to know. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Talking about Abraham, let's see. It says, as it is written, let's go, as it is written. Okay, 18, let's read. Who, talking about Abraham, say, who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become what? The father of many nations, after God's word to him. I follow him. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now what? Dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Next verse. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform. Next verse. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's why you see throughout the scriptures, they will say, they are Abraham our father. Everyone will call Abraham our father. Abraham our father. Why did they call him Abraham our father? Because he's the one that God called covenant with. And experienced the life of God manifest in his flesh. So that just like Aaron's rod that was dead, gave birth to Isaac. Aaron's rod that was dead, what happened to it? He brought forth birds, blossoms and almonds. That is the God we are supposed to know in this day. That is the God of the fathers of this house. That is the God of purpose. That is the God of destiny. Praise the Lord. So, we read that. Let's put some scriptures behind this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, to make it very clear to us. This is because that is our purpose, that is our destiny. Where is this? Okay. Say, always, second, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That what? The life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Next verse. For which live are we delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is what Abraham experienced. That is why we have to know that in God. That was Paul's cry. He thought who knew God by revelation. He said, I knew a man 14 years ago who went up by revelation. He knew God. But yet he said that I might know him. That is, he knew God by inner witness. Then he went on fast, no God by revelation. That's why he could write all the scriptures. But God said, look, Paul, you need to come up with that. There's another level in which you know me. There is to know God, me now in your flesh. Let's open Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, amplified. Amplified. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, amplified, please. We all know the scripture. It says, and this so that I may know him, experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him. Remember that scripture we read in Amplified, talking about Solomon? Acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person, more completely and in the same way experience the power of what is resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did. What version is this? 11. Let me just read. 11. So that I may attain to the resurrection of resurrection that will raise me. This is not a good version. I don't know where I get this version. We all know the scripture. He said, why in this body? He wasn't planning to die. But while I'm still in this body, I want to experience that resurrection life. While in this body? The same life that Abraham experienced while he was in this body. So look unto Abraham and say, I follow me. For rock from whence you were hewn. So that is the God that God wants us to know. Praise the Lord. And to explain it, that's why Hebrews chapter 5 says that. It says that, having our senses exercised to discern both evil and good. Your body, your flesh now begins to discern evil. See, it begins to reject evil. That's when you pump the life of God into that body. It begins to reject evil. You know, all the things that we still struggle with. You know, whatever fornication, adultery, Christians struggle with. You know, misbehaving all the place. Your body now begins to reject. Let's read it. You know, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Are you following me? Now in that context, but strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Your body begins to resist sin. Let's read the Amplifier. Let me read your Amplifier if you have your Amplifier. I know this is the Amplifier there. Let's read the Amplifier. Let's see. In Amplified Bible, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Are we there? Say, but solid food is for the spiritually mature, whose senses are trained, by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil. That is, your body does not respond to evil stimuli. That is, Satan is trying to entice you with loss of the flesh, loss of eyes, and the partial of life. But you don't respond. But it takes time to get there. That's why when that woman was washing Jesus' feet, I won't judge her motive. But Jesus Christ didn't respond. He was totally dead to that. Can you imagine? Somebody trying to tempt. I didn't say he was trying to tempt. Please understand me. But I said, can you imagine? It's not possible for the Creator to be tempted with that kind of thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So that is where God wants us to get to. Praise the Lord. And I put it as, why is this message very important? Because this is what I want us all to see. Because that is what I believe God was trying to tell me. That the season has changed. I told you, I said, when I got home that day, I just woke up and cursed. I said, know the God of your father. That is, you've enjoyed the feast with the princes. You know, you've enjoyed the feast in Shushan Palace. The next thing now is for you, Vashti, to present herself in your royal apparel. What that means is, you don't see negative, we are all going to present ourselves. Something is going to evolve. Something is about to come out. Esther is about to become king. I follow in my train of thought. After the first speech, the second speech, the third speech, okay, present yourself. I follow him. So why is this message important? I put it here. I said that we have entered a new season in which God is about to fulfill the promise which he made unto the fathers. We're in that season now. God had made the promise to Abraham. We've read it. We've confessed it. People have said, where is the promise of his coming? You've said this thing. You've said this thing. Okay, that is Abraham now. But since that time, nobody can fully say they've experienced that kind of thing. Okay, we saw it in Paul when he fell on that boy. Okay, he only just cast again. When, you know, the Bible says that, you know, when they touch the hem of his garment. So, but I'm saying that God wants us to know we are entering that season in which God is going to fulfill the promise which he made to the fathers. And why is he letting us know? Why was he telling me? So that we can be partakers of that same blessing. As you align our hearts with the hearts of the fathers of the house. Are you following me? The Bible says in the book of Malachi, chapter 4. Put it there, chapter 4. It says that, chapter 4, verse 5. It says that, behold, it said, before that great and dreadful day, so I will send Elijah the prophet. Are you following me? Just like he sent Elijah to Elisha, and he kept on following. He said, before the dreadful day, he said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And why is he sending Elijah? Next verse. And it shall do what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and smite the heart with the curse. You see, God is not saying to make us afraid. God doesn't curse people. But what he's saying is this. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, he said that, I said before you, life and blessing, and life and death, blessing and cursing. So that means life is blessing, death is cause, is the cause, right? That's simple. So what he's saying is that if the heart is not aligned properly of the children to the fathers, the life will not flow. So what is meant to be a blessing can become a curse. Because the heart is not aligned properly. So he said, before I come, I'm sending Elijah the prophet to you. And he's going to realign the hearts of the children to fathers, the fathers to children. So that once they are aligned, the blessing will flow. What is that blessing? The blessing of eternal life. That's the blessing. It's not a physical blessing. It will translate to a physical blessing, but it's a spiritual blessing of life. And that's why it says in the book of Psalm 133. He says, how good and how pleasant is it for blessed brethren to dwell together in unity. At the end, he says it's like a blessing. He says like the ointment upon Aaron's head that flowed down to his bed. And then went out to the ends of his garment. He said, for there the Lord commanded a blessing, even the rest of what? Life forevermore. So God wants the life to flow. Now, the life we are talking about is this. Not the life you have in your spirit alone. It's that same measure of life that gives revelation in your soul. But that same lifetime is about to be made manifest in the physical body. So when your heart is aligned, so the flow can come from the head down to wherever you are on Aaron's garment. Are you following what I'm trying to say? It's very important for us to know that. Let's put some scriptures behind. I say God is about to manifest. Well, I've entered the season. God will manifest the promise made to Pharaoh. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. Acts 13, 32. Paul was talking, I think. I said, I will declare unto you what? Glad tidings. How that the promise which was made unto what? The fathers. Next verse. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that they had raised up Jesus again, as it is written in 2 Psalm, that my son, this day I have begotten thee. God made a promise to the fathers, and he manifests that promise to his children. What is that promise? Is there? Say, God raised him. Why? Resurrection life is about to be manifest. So we have entered that season. God is about to do that. What is that blessing? No, 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 says this. So we are not in doubt as to what that blessing is. But say, this is the promise that he has promised us. Even life eternal. Are we there? Says, and this is the promise that he has promised us. Even what? Eternal life. Not only in your spirit now, but in your soul. Not only in your soul now, but also in your flesh. So when the promise is made to the fathers, like he did for Abraham, begins to manifest in their flesh, and they give back to Isaac, type of the Christ child. Once your heart is aligned, that same life is going to flow from your heart. The Bible says that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the force of life. So if your heart is not aligned with the fathers that God has made that promise to, are you following me? You will not bring a curse in Jesus' name. Because you need to see that. See, God wants it to flow. So when he says that, so that I'll smite the heart with the curse, the heart that speaks about the body. That is the life that's supposed to enter into your body. Bring life, be medicine to that body. That body is that after experiencing the curse. Sickness is the curse.
weakness is the cause. But you see, from what God is trying to do, he said, I'm sending him because I want to bless you. Now, he's going to make sure, that means at that time, the hearts of people were not synchronized. I'm sending him to you, that you're going to align your heart with the Father. So when the heart promise he made to Abraham begins to manifest, he will flow to you wherever you are. I need to experience a measure of that blessing. Praise the Lord. So that's very important for us to see. I think I've said quite a lot about that. So that's the first thing we are in that scene. The second thing I want us to know is that it is going to take knowing God at these three levels to be strong and to do exploits. Or if you are yet to know him at the third level, you must be under those that know him at those three levels. Yeah, very important. How shall the blind lead the blind? I said, they fall into a ditch. Let me say what I've said. The second is that, you see, if you don't know God or aspire to know God at this level, or you are fully submitted to those that know God at that level, it will be difficult for you to be strong in this end time and to do exploits. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It takes knowing God. Though. And with that, it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be what? Corrupt by flatteries. But the people that, let's get it, but the people that do know their God shall be what? Strong and do exploits. The master says something in John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works. God wants us to do greater works. So we need to know God at this level. Not just in our spirits, let alone by revelation in our souls, and then in our mortal flesh. Then if you are not there yet, we need to stay under those that know him. So under, that's what Peter, James, and John experienced. But there came a time, I asked Lord, I was preparing. I said, Lord, okay, give me an example of someone that fits into this example I'm talking about. And he told me, he said, look at Peter. Peter knew God by revelation. Just because I said, who do men say that I am? He said that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. That means Peter had moved from knowing God from the weakness of the heart to knowing God by revelation. But there came a time that was supposed to know God and move on. Our master said, the spirit is willing, Peter, but the flesh is weak. So when they came to arrest the master, his flesh was weak and he denied him. That's why you have to know the God of your Father. And by reason of time, you should have been knowing God more, even though at the level, at least something like close to what Jesus Christ knew. But because he did not know, the flesh was weak, that flesh disappointed him. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, and it's what will also keep us, the third point I have is, that is what will keep us from going to idolatry. New Testament covetousness. You see, if you stay at level of a witness, inward witness of knowing God, or just by revelation, it's not enough. Because the whole land today is filled with idolatry, covetousness. And if you don't get to know God, if you don't aspire, that is what I'm saying, is we may not be there yet, but you aspire, that is your goal, and you are pressing toward that mark. Are you following me? So, let's look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10. That was the problem of the children of Israel. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Are we there? Let's go there. And also, all that generation were gathered from their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. As after Joshua died, and the elders of that time, another generation arose that didn't know the God of their fathers. Next verse. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Him. Why? Because they did not know the God of their fathers. Next verse. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Next verse. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asherah. Next verse. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them unto the hands of spoilers and spoilers. That's why he said, Solomon, he said, he will cast you away. Don't say we have Abraham as our father. Don't say that. Don't say I'm under covering. Don't say that. It's good to be under covering. But there is going to come a time that God will say, you will visit that vineyard. I said, by reason of time, you should have moved from knowing me from the inward witness to knowing me by revelation. Then also visit some other people. By reason of time, you should move from knowing me from revelation to knowing me in your flesh. I remember a story that Papa Higgins said some years ago in his book. He said that his son used to go and swim. He would take his son to go and swim. And then after swimming, he would have warts in his ear. So he had to take him to the doctor to clean it out. So he said he would pray for him. So he said one day he wanted to pray for him. And God said, no, you are not praying for him. This is the Papa Higgins, late Papa Higgins son. Papa Higgins Jr., the one that's in charge of ministry now. He said, don't pray for him. He said, God told him, said, just I said, you are not praying for him again. He said, by reason of time, he's been under this ministry. He should be able to exercise his faith now. You're not going to pray for him. You're going to start letting him pray, exercise his faith, and then join your faith resume. There will come that time. That time has come. You see, the essence of covering is to preserve you so you can grow and grow and grow and grow and know God of your Father. For the coming and the dreadful day of the Lord. That's the whole essence of covering. It's not to indulge. It's not to be lazy. So you can stay under. We know the God of our Father in Jesus' name. That's the problem. I put some examples here. You can be in ministry. You can be singing in the choir. You can even be preaching a message. I yet not know God. Go and ask from Ophni and Phinehas. They didn't know God. The Bible said they were sons of Belial. Said they did not know God. Their father knew God, even though he bastarded, but the children never knew God. In the same congregation, someone knew God, they didn't know God. And they were going about ministering every day. You can be a pastor, I don't care. You can be anything. You could have been in the church or doing info. You have better learned to know that God. They didn't know God. And it cost them. As Nadab and Abihu, he didn't know the God of their father. You know, because daddy does it, so me too, I can do it. So they went to know that story in Leviticus chapter 10. They took a censer and strange fire, the offers, and God dealt with them. And God said, look, you must not cry. Keep quiet, you know. That is, they are not children. They should have known better by reason of time. Because you know why? You are not invited into priesthood until a certain age. So you are not small children, like you are supposed to be in children's church. You have had examples scattered over the people, or over the Bible. And the last example I want to talk about, which you can relate to, is Solomon himself. 1 Kings chapter 11. And we'll see what happened to Solomon. He never grew. But he never got to where God wanted him to be. You see, Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you are able to bear. So, but because he did not go, you know, he said earlier on, he said, I'm a little child. Fine. No problem. You can have the gifts of the Spirit. You can have different things. But after some time, he didn't grow. Even though he was king. And this is what happened to him. Notice we are talking about knowing God so we don't go into idolatry. Look at what Solomon did. He said, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonites, and the Hittites. Next verse. All of the nations concerning which the Lord God said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them. Now shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto this in love. Next verse. And he had 700 wives, priests, blah, blah, blah. Next verse. And for it came to pass, when Solomon was old, spiritually speaking now, though it was natural. Are you following me? He had not yet known God at that level. And his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect. What he told him. You can remember. He said, know the God of your father. I found serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. He told him up front. That is, he told him his destiny from the beginning. You're a little child, but move up. So, but when he was mature, see what happened. So they turned away his heart. After other gods, and his heart was not perfect with Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Next verse. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zunians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites. Like we read in the book of Judges. So when that generation came, that did not know the father, they went out. That's what I'm saying. So you see, we need to know God at this level. We need to aspire to know him, not just in our spirit, in our souls, and in our flesh. Because as time goes on, different temptations will be coming. And by reason of time, God will allow them to come. And he expects that by that time that you are whole, or you're supposed to be whole spiritually,
be able to resist that temptation. Praise the Lord. So how are we going to know God? I said that there must come a time in our life that the God of Elijah must be God, the God of Elijah. We must make that transition. If you look backwards, it was the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha. Somewhere that line is the God of Pastor, the God of Mommy. Somewhere your name should be there. It must be called the God of Pastor Joey. It must be called the Pastor Andrew. You must get to that place. Why? Because when you align your heart to that covenant that they made with Abraham, how are we going to know this? Very simple. For I said, by following our fathers, like Elijah followed Elisha. It's very simple. What do you mean by that? It's very simple. We do that by submitting to them with a humble heart and practicing what they have taught us. It's very simple. That's how you follow. Follow is not necessarily going around with them. That may be part of it. Are you following me? But the following we are talking about is when you obey and submit to them their instructions. You practice those instructions. It's as you practice those instructions, are you following me, that begin to experience those things. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. That's Elisha. Elisha had been following. He came to a place in his life. Said, where is the God of Elijah? Over the years, he has known as the God of Elijah. I want to know him personally. That's the experience that he entered into at that time in his life. And then the second aspect is spending time with God. You see, apart from having the principles, you now must make up your mind to go the extra mile to spend time with God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. So we spend time with God in prayer, using the life of God to pray with all kinds of prayer. We travel and meditating in the Word. Why is travel important? Why is love of God important? The book of John chapter 17, verse 3, says that Jesus Christ was talking. He said, and this is life eternal, that I may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. Have you seen it? So you need to use the life of God to travel in prayer, to move from baby to literature, from literature to young man, from young man to father. I said, my literature of whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. What that means is this: if you don't travel, Christ will not be formed. So you are not going to that person, will not leave that present stage to the next stage. You follow what I'm trying to say. It says, my literature of whom I travel in birth again. That means he did the first time, they got born again, they got in word possessed. The second time they are supposed to have revelation, they didn't have it. So I'm traveling for you to move up. That's why I said, you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Are you following me? So we need to do that. And by spending time in prayer, spending time fellowship with God. Let's open our Bibles to the last scripture we're going to look at. And that's the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Looking at Joshua as a type in the Amplified Bible. Talking about the man Joshua. You see, he was not content with just knowing God as the God of Moses. So after Moses has spoken to God face to face, I follow me. But he stayed back. Let's together. And so, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. Just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his attendant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Let me read my Amplified Bible. This they have simplified it. They have amplified it. Let me just read it before we close. It's very, very important. You see, this one does not amplify. Because in the King James, it just says that he did not depart from the tabernacle, the young man Moses. As after I've been following Moses all these years, he had seen what Moses had done. Then he began to desire, I want to know this God that speaks to him face to face. I want to experience that same life that shone on his face. Are you following me? So, and that's why the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, I read from my own Amplified version, verse 11. What does it say? It says that, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. That's what it says in the Amplified that I have. That is, after you must have a desire to know the God of your father, and it comes through prayer. So when Moses departed, Joshua stayed back. Why? He didn't want to know that God. In closing, the question I want to ask today is this: where was Geshem? Where was Eliezer? You see, you don't get to this stage by natural birth. That is why the master said something when his father and his mother were outside.
He said, your father and your mother are outside. They want to see you.
You know what he said? He said, who is my father? Who is my mother? He said, them that, he pointed to, he said, them that do the will of God. Not that they were not his parents. I follow him, but say, look, the ones that are my, that we are joined together, I was saying, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. He said, they are these ones that we are looking at. Them that do the will of God. What is that will of God? Total sanctification of spirit, soul, and body. You see, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. The life of God in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. So ask that question, where was Eliezer? Where was Gershom? We need to ask those questions.
That's why he said something. He said, just guess, don't say that you have Abraham, John the Baptist, who was the type of Elijah that God sent. He said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit shall be hewn down. Say not within yourself that Abraham's seed.
And was the first. You see, that's what I said. He said, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. Let me put it in the positive sense, that can release that blessing to you. Let me put it that way. That was intent. So I believe this is what God is telling us. That's why God told me personally. He said, know the God of your father. That is, move up from where you are, which I believe by the grace of God, having been taught well, move from knowing him by revelation, move now to knowing him in your flesh, where you crucify that flesh. And I believe the same applies to everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down and talk to God. Let's talk to God. I believe God has spoken to us at one level or the other. That is why I said earlier on that we have entered a new season. That Aaron's rod we bought. That's the season we are in now. We've experienced the feast. Are you following me? That is where we are now. That's where those prophecies came. And on the final day of the feast, if you remember, somebody stood there and said, Pastor, I have a word for you. Said, God told me that from now on, your ministry will begin to experience diverse miracles and healings. On the last day of the feast, it was very prophetic. So what is God telling us? Don't be wearing well doing. Because you shall reap in due season if you don't faint. Just align your heart. I have to align my heart. So once that heart shifts a bit, bring it back. Because of the season we are in, that God may bestow a blessing upon us. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for covering. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God. We are trusting that, Lord, you will confirm your word with signs following. All I want, heaven, is my life upon all this world depends, and wants to hold. To know. I read a scripture that I believe God just quickened in my heart, even though I mentioned in the ministration, because it is the season and the time that we have entered in. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. So, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and shall be to me a people. And it shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. What is God saying? Obviously, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to a child in his image. God is calling us in this season to come to a new level of intimacy with God. Move from knowing him in your spirit to revelation in your soul. Move, you know, by revelation in your soul to knowing him in your flesh. Praise the Lord. Let's put one hand on our hands and leave that hand, raise the other hand to heaven. To God. Let's say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to know the God of my father, who made a covenant with Abraham and swore by himself to fulfill it. I come afresh to ask for mercy and grace in sufficient measure, not only to know it in my spirit, but also in my mind by revelation knowledge, and also in my body, as his life is made manifest in my mortal flesh. I receive mercy and grace to continue to grow under covering of my spiritual parents, with the heart properly aligned with them, so that in this end time I will be strong and I will do exploits as I partake of the bold anointing under them in Jesus' name. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, Father, we